The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and had thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
The early church fathers, Origen in particular, used to say that much of Scripture has two meanings, the literal meaning and the spiritual meaning. The literal meaning is what the text actually says, but the spiritual meaning delves into symbolism, typology, and metaphor. So if the literal sense of Scripture could be likened to the body, the spiritual sense could be likened to the soul. Let's use this tool for interpreting Scripture today on the part of the Gospel where Jesus shows his wounds and eats food. Some people in our time believe in ghosts and even claim to have seen them. This was true also of Jesus' time. When Jesus shows up out of nowhere to his disciples today, they thought that he was a ghost or a spirit. To prove to them that he is not a ghost, he allows them to touch his wounds, and then he eats something with them. Ghosts do not have bodies that can be probed, nor do they have stomachs which handle food. So through these gestures, Jesus shows that he is still a human being with a body. This is the literal meaning of the text. However, there is something now different about this human being. Human beings can't normally walk through walls and appear at various places as if out of thin air. And notice the resurrection accounts where it says that his own disciples did not recognize Jesus. Clearly, there is something different about his body. But he clearly also has a body. We say that human beings have a body and a soul. Unfortunately, throughout the centuries, heresies have arisen about the relationship of the body to the soul. One such heresy called dualism, that seems to keep popping up from time to time in various forms, is that the spirit is the good part of us, and the body is the bad or evil part of us. In this way of seeing things, death is to be welcomed, because now the soul can finally escape from the prison of the body into a higher, better existence, no longer bound by space and time. So the evil physical world, which includes our bodies, of course, from this way of thinking, will one day be completely annihilated into non-existence, leaving only the good spiritual realm for all eternity. Well, Catholic theology doesn't see it that way. In Genesis, God calls mankind good when he creates them, and the whole of creation he calls very good. We believe that at the end of time, will include our physical bodies resurrecting from the dead and being rejoined to our souls so that we will be once again whole human beings. But not like we currently experience life, but as Jesus did, with a transformed, resurrected body, one that will not be limited by space and time or by death anymore. This is the spiritual meaning of the text. And it has consequences for how we deal with our physical world today, even our own bodies, which are destined for a higher pitch of existence someday. There is something else in the spiritual meaning having to do with Jesus showing his wounds. Some of the early church fathers commented that his showing them of his wounds was also meant to show what the sins of the world did to Jesus. That sin is truly poisonous to human life, and that it has real consequences, as shown by the wounds that Jesus still has, even in his resurrected body. No one who saw those wounds could possibly say that there is no such thing as sin, or that even if there is sin, it's not that big a deal. It's like what Peter said today in his homily in the first reading. You killed the author of life. That's not something that just needs to be spruced up to fix. Sin runs deep in us. The person who doesn't want to admit that in his or her life needs to look at the wounds of Jesus on the cross again. If all were well with us, we would not have killed the author of life when he came. But we don't stop with our sinfulness. Another spiritual meaning we can take from the text is that Jesus' request for food is very important, not just to show us that he still has a body, but for the forgiveness of the sins of humanity. Remember again what Genesis tells us about how sin came into the world. It was through a bad meal. Eve was tripped by the serpent into thinking that she and Adam could become gods by gaining the knowledge of good and evil. So she takes the fruit and eats it alongside her husband. St. Paul said of Jesus that even though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or exploited or stolen or misused. In other words, Jesus reversed what Adam and Eve did by being subservient to the Father, even though Jesus was also God. How does that play out in our reading today? Jesus asks for something to eat. Like Eve, he's going to have a meal. But this will be a rightly ordered meal with good intentions and not evil ones. Jesus is reversing what Eve did by sharing the agape meal with his disciples. And as I've said before, this chapter is also about the Mass. I mean, why were the disciples in the very same room 1 week later than they were last week? You know, what is it that Catholics do every 7 days? We have Mass. That's what they were doing. They were celebrating Mass. And Jesus truly appeared to them once again, just as he will today here. Maybe not as dramatically, but he will be here for sure today at this rightly ordered meal, which reverses what Eve did.